Jesus' disciples were, oh, a varying of different kinds of people. Very different. All of them was very different. And I just want to say one thing that held them together was Jesus. Other than that, they would have been perpetually at odds with each other, and I suspect they often were. Otherwise, Jesus would not have had to keep emphasizing the scripture that we read today about loving one another. Peter, called the rock. Peter could be very impulsive, forceful, impetuous, and sometimes belligerent. While Jesus would have valued these qualities, as he knew that they would be important to Peter's ability to endure the challenges of opposition in the early days of the church, it still seems that Jesus struggled sometimes to keep Peter in check and on task. Peter could be prone to doubt, even as Thomas doubted. Peter was prone to do some of the same things. And he was often loud and challenging to Jesus. Still, Jesus put him at his right side. Peter was Jesus's man. And then we got Andrew. Andrew, Peter's brother, was also a fisherman, and nevertheless, he was quiet and tended to stay out of the front lines. Jesus knew that he had a good heart, but he tended to want to spend his time studying, learning, rather than fighting and leading. James was one of the sons of the fishing mogul, Zebedee. And along with his brother John, they were called by Jesus the sons of thunder, for their boisterous, loud, and even salty language like a sailor and behavior. They were used to the rough and tough underbelly of the fishing industry and tended towards uncultured behavior and spontaneous outbursts of emotions and, more importantly, opinions. Now, you always knew what they were thinking because their fiery temperaments may have made the zealous about the mission very rough in the edges in dealing with people. Then on the other hand, you got Philip and his friend Nathaniel. They were studious, theologically focused, and they were avid students of the Torah, what we call the Bible. They were powerful preachers in the early church. They were just preachers with such zeal and love. They were the intellectuals of the group, if you would. And they were interested in change, but they tended to go about it in a quiet, more organized way, supporting Jesus' teaching and doing what needed to be done. They were the more traditional students of Rabbi Jesus. Matthew, he was an official in the Capernaum harbor. He was working for Rome, and what he did is he taxed the import and export goods that came through that seaport. He was also a seasoned politician, but despised by his Jewish community because he was working for the enemy. Matthew was a negotiator, not communicator, and he had a very analytical mind. But he stuck in the job that he didn't like, working for the people who did not respect him, and Rome certainly did not respect the Jews. He longed for the meaning and the change and belonging and identity. And Jesus gave him the opportunity to do something that would make a real difference. Thomas, we talked about Thomas a couple weeks ago. We call him Doubting Thomas. He had a rational mind of the group of 12. He was a skeptic, but also the calm in the face of trouble. He could be courageous and daring when he believed in something, but he would also ask the right questions and seek answers before making decisions. Thomas needed to buy in order to be convinced that something was worthwhile doing. His study, his scientific style mind would be needed in the midst of some of the most impulsive and emotional moments that was exhibited by his fellow disciples. Faith was a bit more challenging to him, but once committed, he was all in. James was quiet. A follower, so quiet we hear little about him in the scriptures. Simon was a zealot and a revolutionary. eclipsed by his fishermen brothers. Nevertheless, he was interested in overthrowing Rome, and his political sense drove him to a sense of mission. Thaddeus was also quite gentle-hearted, caring about people. He admired Jesus' heart for the unsupported and marginalized, and was an advocate of healing and mercy. He listened avidly to Jesus' teaching and was in awe of his healing ministry. And then we got Judas. Now, Judas could be very obnoxious. He had hard, headstrong opinions about everything. He was an insider, though, and understood the temple system. He had colleagues within the church or the temple, but yet hoped that Jesus would reform the system of the day, make waves, instigate change. And he was all for having a political position in the new order. That's what he wanted, the financial treasure of the movement. He was organized and very savvy, but also could be untrustworthy and underhanded with the funds. He protected himself above all others and could easily switch sides if he felt it was in his own interest. You remember the pieces of silver. But the wild card of the bunch was Judas. He was loyal to Jesus until Jesus changed his sense of direction and the way that he thought things should be handled. And then he took over and went his own way. Now, these are all different personalities of the disciples. You recognize any of these personalities? Every church has at least some of them. Why on earth would Jesus choose such diverse and controversial personalities as his disciple and his inner circle? For this reason, in order for Jesus' mission to be successful, he would need to prove that his prime directive worked. What was his prime directive? Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another and bear fruit together. Jesus said this over and over and over again. You wonder why? Why did he keep saying that? Because it had to have been hard to do. Love one another. You got some people in your life that you love, but they're hard to love? We all have those. How he would get such different personalities with such different hopes and dreams and reasons for following him to work together for the good of the mission. For following him to work together for the good of the mission when their own common factor was him. How would they continue to do so after he is gone? That leaves us where we are today, the church. Love one another, he said. Enough to lay down your life for each other? Enough to be in mission together? Keep your eyes on what needs to be done? Enough to show the world that being my disciple means that even the most diverse and at odds people can be in community together? Show the world this, and show the world that it works. Jesus and his very inner team and his choice of trusted right hands would challenge the world and its workings. The division of his time, the bias and the isms. There was isms even back in Jesus' day. We have a lot of isms today. By creating the most effective and loyal and unstoppable team in history that he could find. They proved him right. A good team is not about being the same mind and doing the same things. And it's not about agreeing on everything and having like personalities. It's about loving one another. It's about respecting one another. To agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Differences, unique, takes on life and the mission of Jesus. Most of all, respecting each other's own faith in the one thing that matters. Resurrected Jesus, ready to change the world, one team at a time. It was on the news this morning or yesterday that Christians now represent, I think, 2-something billion or 3 billion people. If you've ever been involved in network marketing, you know it's helping one another with the same kind of idea and working through. Think about what Jesus did. I always said he's the inventor of network marketing. He had 12, quickly went to 11, and now we have close to 3 billion Christians in the world. To say that it works is an understatement. But Jesus didn't put out a call for a discipleship sign up. You know how you go someplace and they say, oh, sign up for this or sign up for that. No, he didn't even interview the disciples for the certain qualities that he wanted. He didn't demand that they should conform to certain kinds of standards. He allowed them to be who they were, even to the very last moment. And he encouraged them to use their unique personalities and gifts to make a difference in the way that they could. Did you know we all have different gifts and graces? Did you know we're all unique? We're all original. There's nobody else like you in the whole wide world, thanks be to God. But the qualities were all different. They needed to be united where they could rely on each other to balance each other's strengths and weaknesses. That's why that verse in Ecclesiastes always helps me a lot. It takes two. When one falls down, the other's there to pick you up. They had a role to play and a way to be involved in the mission. They each found their own way of doing that in Jesus' lifetime. And in the years of the early church, they worked because they were all focused on something bigger than themselves, bigger than their differences. It was the mission of Jesus. Max Lucado, I guess some of you read some of his stuff. I always enjoy his stories and his reading. And he once told an interesting story about a group of men who went on a fishing trip. And when it rained, they were all stuck inside their little trailer with nothing to do until the rain passed. And then as a result, they began snipping at each other, critiquing each other, lashing out in temper flares and being just plain old grouchy. He said, and his verdict was, when fishermen don't fish, they fight. I like that. Yeah. When fishermen don't fish, they fight. We'd all to be fishers of men. We don't need to be fighting. We can disagree, but we don't need to be fighting. We can still love one another. In our scripture today, Jesus tells us, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. He said, I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Be united in your mission, Jesus tells us. And he said, I chose and appointed you to carry out the mission that I have started. To change the world, to heal the sick and doubting, to proclaim God's sovereignty and saving grace, to let people know that they are beautiful, exactly the way that they are, in all of their differences and diversity, to be their example of what the world would look like when people would start working together for a common goal. If you love the parent, you love the child. John tells us that in his little letter, in one of the first John, second John, third Johns, he said this, as the Father loved me, so I love you. We are all adopted sons and daughters of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, and these messages that assure us of being part of the family of God has nothing to do with genealogy, culture, type of blood, DNA, sisterhood, brotherhood, beauty of God's creation. And it don't matter what color your skin is, you're all part of God's grace and love. Somehow or another, it's hard. But if we ever break through the world telling people what the world tells them that they are, if we could ever break through, and how can we break through? One person at a time. That's why it's so important to share the gospel with your immediate family, with your immediate friends. It's a big mission that he called us to do. But it comes down to one thing, love. Now, the English language has butchered the word love. It has so many meanings now. that you don't even really know if I do love something or something. But the kind of love that God was talking about is agape love. Love unconditionally. That's God's love. That's God's love for each of us. And it all comes down to love. Love for God, love for each other, and a belief and a mission that upholds and initiates this kind of loving. So who are your brothers and sisters? Who are your neighbors? The answer is very simple. It's everyone in this world is our brother or sister or neighbor. It's not just the people in our neighborhoods. It's not just the people in the buildings that we have, where we work or where we go to church. It's not just the people you know, but everyone. You are all sons and daughters of the living God. And I think the more that we see the world this way, the more loving and beautiful the world will become. We have a lot of challenges in our world today and in our communities. But God's given us a roadmap to love one another,